Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. Today my guest is Esther Miltiades, an Alexander Technique teacher in North London, England. And Esther has worked a lot with children in her teaching career, and she's on the staff of the Educare Small School in Kingston, along with Sue Mary, another Alexander Technique teacher who's specialized in working with children. Esther is also an assistant teacher for the Developing Self, a specialized postgraduate training course for Alexander teachers working in education. She also teaches one-on-one with adults and children at her private practice in North London. Esther, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here with you, Robert.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. Esther and I have just completed another interview about her work at the Educare Small School. And this interview is going to be more about the Alexander Technique and children generally, and what F. Matthias Alexander, the founder of this method, some of his thoughts on that topic. Could you begin, Esther, by just giving us a very short description of the Alexander Technique?
Lovely, yes. Alexander Technique teaches us the skills to respond to stimuli in a more coordinated, poised, and considered way, which helps improve physical and mental well-being. That's
right.
My little summary.
Yeah, and excuse me, that Alexander, F. Matthias Alexander, had an interesting take on the whole situation of teaching his work and children. I believe he actually said something in one of his books to the effect that, yes, most of the current Alexander Technique students are adults, but in a way that's kind of a shame because children would be a much more useful group of people to study with the technique because they could change so easily and quickly. Something to that effect. Would you agree with that just from your experience teaching in the Educare school?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're working with little three-year-olds, they're actually not showing very many bad postural habits. You're getting in there while their natural coordination and poise is still in place. So you're able to empower and teach them and teach them to be consciously aware of all the good things that they're doing so that they can name them and understand them. And then you're working with that. So rather than a re-education, it just becomes part of their natural education.
Right. And I think that's what Alexander had in mind, although I think he was also thinking of somewhat older children who may have begun to develop some harmful habits. And your experience there also is that they are quicker to get the technique, as it were, than many adult students?
Definitely. I think they just, they just get it much more simply.
Right.
And I don't know whether that's to do with the way that we teach it to children. It's just very, very simple, being soft and tall, and the vocabulary that we used, just they get it. You know, it's more natural for them to use themselves well, and we're just reconnecting them with that and giving them that conscious understanding of what it is. So yes, they seem to be able to notice what they're doing more quickly and just come out of it more easily.
Yeah, I myself have not had any experience working really with the very young children, but I've worked with high school kids and university kids. And I teach them in a very similar way to the way I teach adults and in groups or individually. And I find that they just get it. And they don't, there's like no, they don't sort of, they don't over intellectualize it the way adults like to do. They just, if it works, they go for it, especially college kids who are in arts programs like music or theater. They immediately see the connection to their chosen profession. But now Alexander said something else. He was quoted as saying something else, and I'd be interested in your take on it. It was from an article someone wrote about him in the 20s, I believe, in an American student of his, who seems to quote Alexander as saying not only that children are the way to go in terms of Alexander teaching, if you really want to be cost effective, I guess, to use that term, but he also said that it doesn't take as much training for someone to be able to do that as it would be for sort of ordinary Alexander teachers. Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's interesting, actually. I would say, in a way, that that's right. I'll give you an example. When we do a thing after lunch called quiet time, and the children get to lie in constructive rest. And then, as an Alexander teacher, I put some hands-on work with them while they're in constructive rest. But we get student helpers as well that do the same thing, and we train them up to put hands on the head. They're not moving them or anything, but they're just connecting in a very directed way with their fellow colleague that's lying on the floor, and they put their hands on their heads and then on their shoulders, and then they come back to their heads again. And they get to practice on me and Sue first. So we sort of train them up in this. And I would say 90% of the children that put hands on us, they are absolutely fantastic. They have beautiful, open, soft hands, and they really understand the difference between being pokey and tight and understanding that what they're thinking for themselves gets translated into that other person. They can tell if you're tight or soft or open or directed, and they just get it. Children can certainly learn the technique much more easily, and they don't need much directing because they have that natural coordination, and we're just connecting them again with that, I suppose.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's actually children as almost proto-Alexander technique teachers. But I wonder also, like you use a different in our last interview, we talked a little about the vocabulary you use with children to get them to self-direct, as it were, using and sort of a variation of Alexander technique self-directions. And it seems to me from the what you were telling me that those modified directions are pretty easy for someone to share with somebody else, you know, someone who's learned them, like a sibling or a friend.
You often get stories of the children going home and helping their parents
Yeah, I'm
by
not
teaching them
surprised
the
at that.
directions. It's lovely that wanting to share the work as well.
So do
Yes, they
you,
just get it.
yeah, and it doesn't take much really to get them to release whatever tension has appeared in their bodies. So do you think that it would ever make sense to have a sort of a separate kind of Alexander training for teachers of children that was less than the 3 year one that Alexander Technique teachers today go through?
I think that's an interesting question. I think what we're doing with the Developing Self course is, rather than doing less training to work with children, is acknowledging that working with children is quite different from working with adults, and that often the training courses aren't particularly aimed at working with children, so that we're adding that extra bit of experience and understanding of how to work with children that is particular to children rather than with adults. So I don't know whether it would necessarily be a useful thing to do a shorter training course just for children, because as they reach teens, then they might enjoy the work that's more like we would give an adult. But it's definitely important for teachers, Alexander teachers, to have some sort of extra training to really understand working with younger children in particular.
Right. So I wonder, I mean, everything that you've said about the school you work in, it sounds like an absolutely fabulous experience for the kids there. But as I'm sure you're all too painfully aware of, that is not the case generally out there.
No.
And yes. I wonder if you have any thoughts about how Alexander teachers could somehow get Alexander ideas more broadly understood among educators, particularly educators of small children, because it seems to me there's a potential opportunity for very young children to get some, not all that much help that might make a huge difference. But do you have any thoughts on how that could be brought about in anything other than just there are other schools where
Specialist
this has
schools,
happened, but it's pretty rare.
It's something that we're working with at the moment, and part of the postgraduate training is creating curricula that could be used and used as a basis to take into state schools. So we're trying to broaden the base of Alexander Technique work and allowing it to be used as a general educational tool rather than just being used in music or drama. So the curricula and ideas that we have, say for example, that we can take into primary schools are there to really be molded to what the school can do, but embodies the 30 years experience that Sue has really of working with primary school students. And part of that is a colleague, Jeremy Cassidy, and I are attempting to create a research project within a local London state school where we're taking the curriculum, the primary school curriculum for Alexander Technique, and really seeing what works in a state school, what they have time to do, what we can facilitate so that it becomes something that a normal class of 30 children could achieve and could see results with. And part of that, we're looking at changing some of the furniture,
I was just going to ask you about school furniture. I first encountered that as a parent years ago, our children were in middle school, and I visited the cafeteria, which was an experience in itself, and I was astonished to see tables with metal stools kind of bolted to it so you couldn't even move anything relative to anything else. And, of course, they were all the same size and height. And I know that you are part of the school's chair campaign that Richard Brennan, an Irish Alexander Technique teacher, has created. What do you think are the possibilities of kind of waking school administrators or treasurers or whatever up to the point that you might save some money by buying stackable chairs or tables that are bolted to chairs? It might be cheaper, But the cost to the students is just horrendous.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, you know, bringing awareness that it's not just the cost to the student, that actually because the furniture is badly designed, the children can't sit comfortably. They're trying to make themselves comfortable and they're moving and they're not being able to concentrate or focus on their work. So yes, it's not just about back pain. It's about being able to sort of free children up to be more comfortable so that they can focus and enjoy their work. So yeah, we were looking at very cost-effective ways of changing school furniture and thinking about the dynamics of a classroom. So Richard's doing a study at the moment with putting wedges on chairs and we're attempting to do a study of simply removing the chairs and replacing them with circular, flat-topped wooden stools that we can cut down to the correct heights for the pupils, making sure that they fit with the tables, because that's the sort of slight disadvantage of tables are a particular height in particular school years, so you can't quite make them the stools
That you'd
exactly
like.
the right height. Yeah,
Well, as we're
but
speaking, I'm sitting on exactly that kind of a stool and have for years. And I find that my adult students, an awful lot of them, when they experiment with it, it's a pretty inexpensive investment
it
to
is,
try out. Many of them switch over and would never sit in a chair if there's a stool available, just because of the benefits of
absolutely. I mean,
that.
stools are great. I mean, they're flat, they're easy, they're space efficient in very small Victorian classrooms that are slightly overcrowded. And they don't have a direction, so when teachers are moving around the classroom, children don't have to move their chairs around. They can
No.
just swizzle on their stools.
Very easy to
So,
move around. They allow
yeah.
for a lot more freedom than a chair does
Yes.
in terms of
Yeah.
movement in general.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what we're using a basis, and then the Alexander technique, embodied awareness on top. We're hoping that, you know, teachers and pupils will see a difference in the way their children learn and the way they behave within the classroom. Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share about the Alexander technique and children generally? Anything you want to say to parents, for example, who might be listening?
I mean, it's just a fantastic tool, a set of skills that you can give your child that stays with them for life. They are skills for life, and they are, it's equally as important to learn to look after yourself as it is to learn about maths and English and everything else. You know, in all the stresses and the strains that we have today, to look after ourselves physically and mentally, you know, learning to respond to stimuli, thinking about pausing and being able to respond and having that available to you, and understanding how anxiety affects our bodies. It's just a wonderful learning tool to have as part of your emergency kit, your first aid kit to look after yourself as you go through life. So I think that's what Alexander in Education is really trying to do, is trying to make educators more aware of the work that's available out there as part of the Alexander technique that can be used in primary, secondary, and tertiary education, because it's got stuck within drama and music a lot, but it really has applications that can be broadly used within education.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
absolutely. Well, this might be a good place to bring our conversation to a close. My guest today has been Esther Miltiadis, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in North London, England. She works at the Educare Small School in Kingston, and she's also an assistant teacher for the Developing Self, a specialized postgraduate training course for Alexander teachers working in education. She also teaches, gives private and group lessons to adults and children. And I will put a link to Esther's website by this interview. If you're in the London area and you want to follow up on what she's talking about, contact her through the site. I'll also put a site that tells more about the Alexander technique in general and will enable you to find a teacher, hopefully, wherever you live. Not everywhere, but a lot of places. Esther, thank you so much for this and the previous interview.
Thank you. It's been really lovely speaking with you and sharing my work. Thanks.